Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. In today's episode, we're diving into the world of pickleball with professional player and coach Zane Navratil. Zane shares his fascinating journey from high school tennis champion to becoming a top-ranked pickleball pro, offering valuable insights into the explosive growth of this amazing sport. We explore the social and competitive elements that make pickleball so appealing, as well as its potential future as a high school, collegiate, and even Olympic sport. Zane's also going to share his secrets to success, discussing the power of discipline. And we're going to dig into exercise snacks and how Zane uses these to create productive work sprints. And in this episode, I refer to a paper on exercise snacks, and I've put the link to the paper in the show notes. So let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Zane, pickleball is exploding. The recent data shows that it grew 52% this past year. For 3 years in a row, it's the fastest growing sport in America. Why do you think it's growing so fast? And I'm curious how you got into the sport and kind of your journey to being an elite athlete.
I'll answer the first part. I got into the sport almost 10 years ago. My dad got me into pickleball when I was in high school. I was a tennis player. I thought pickleball was a sport for old people. And so one day my dad actually just dragged me out to a community center in Racine, Wisconsin. And I got my butt kicked by these guys who were in their 60s and 70s. And I didn't even really like pickleball at first, but I just wanted to beat these guys who were three times my age. And as I started playing it a little bit more in an effort to beat Lyle, Harvey, and Al, I started to enjoy the intricacies of the game. And I've been playing a little bit ever since, made the jump to pro in 2020. But I think the reason why it's so addicting is A, the social element of it. You're 14 feet away. So for somebody like me who likes to talk a little smack, my opponents can always hear me. Or if you're a nice person, you can say nice shot, whatever. You're in constant communication with people across from you. And since you're only 14 feet, I think there's an addictive element of the adrenaline that comes from this. You see a lot of very soft shots, but you're tense the entire time because you never know when somebody is going to go from a soft dinking shot to a speed up shot 70 miles per hour at you from 14 feet away. Some of these shots that we're reacting to, we have less time to react than MLB batters who are hitting fastballs because we're so close to one another. So I think that the camaraderie mixed with the adrenaline rush is the reason why you're seeing it so addicting.
I'm starting to think about, I'm a newbie to this sport. And the first time I played, I loved it. I loved the social component. In a way, it's like ping pong in a sense, is it's so fast. And I told my wife when I came back, she played collegiate softball. And like the difference between softball and baseball is baseball, you know, it's hard to watch a baseball game on TV, but you can watch a softball game because it happens so fast, right? And with pickleball, everything happens so quick. And I don't know, I just found it to be pretty addictive, pretty fast. And there was actually some research coming out about this, about how like you play once, it's like you just got to play again and again and again. Now, it wasn't always that you were playing pro pickleball. You had a profession in another, like you were in another career. What were you doing before you decided to go all in on pickleball?
Yeah. So I started in high school, like I said, and then I went and played college tennis at Wisconsin Whitewater, still dabbled in some pickleball while I was doing that. I got a degree in accounting and I started my career as an auditor for Deloitte. I made it about a year before I retired to professional pickleball. So in 2020, the two professional tours, the APP and the PPA, were emerging with full schedules and millions of dollars of prize money in total. So it made playing pickleball a viable professional option when it hadn't really been organized to that extent previously.
So what is like, if you win a PPA tournament, what's the prize money for the winner?
It depends on the year, it depends on the tournament itself. But last year when we won the team events for Major League Pickleball, it was $100,000 divided across four players. So 25K each. I think some of these individual tournaments if you were to Triple Crown, you would be getting something similar, 25K for a weekend. Now, a lot of our compensation is sort of salary based. So the prize money has taken a hit, but we all have increased salaries. We'll just put it this way. It's not unreasonable to me making good six figures as a pro football player.
That's pretty awesome. What do you see the future of the sport looking like?
I think the future of the sport is this is going to take over as a high school and collegiate sport. I think that's the near future. I think it's a no-brainer because you can have men and women playing on the same team and it could be played inside. So you could have the season be whenever you wanted. It could be a winter sport if you wanted. I think that that is the next big step for this sport. When that comes, it's going to continue to push the professional game. I think Olympics is a real possibility as this continues to gain steam overseas. And I do see this being a sport that people play and watch and love.
Yeah, I spoke to a recent college tennis coach who's been around for quite some time, and he said he believes in the next few years this will be a collegiate sport, depending on how everything shakes out with NIL. But the club teams are huge. I think Clemson has like 500 students on the club team.
Really?
I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. And then there's these Duper College Championships. And I was walking, you know, I like to walk in the neighborhood, and I saw a family, a mother and a son, had a little net, and they were playing pickleball in their driveway. And so it's a very equitable sport. And I'm totally fascinated by it. Absolutely love it. Of course, we've got a software product around that. But one of the things that I've noticed since getting to know you, Zane, and come to really respect is your level of discipline. And I get emails from you. I'm an early riser and get going early, but I'm getting emails from you at like 6:30 in the morning. And I love that. But like, how did you develop this discipline? How does it transfer onto the court? And how would you advise somebody else if they wanted to build more discipline into their lives?
Sure. So I certainly haven't always been this way. Like back in high school, I really wasn't super disciplined, but my tennis coach taught me how to work hard. I channeled my energy towards tennis. And in order to get better, I took practice very seriously. I took fitness seriously, and I took diet and nutrition seriously. And so I didn't do that in every element of my life, but I knew how to do it. When I went to college, I continued to take the tennis aspect seriously. And then I added my studies. I had the goal of getting a 4.0 GPA for some reason, but I went and did it. So that took a lot of discipline. I added that. So it's been constantly adding something new to sort of work towards. So first it was just tennis. Then it was tennis in school. After school, it was pickleball and work. And now it is pickleball and work in a different way. I work with a lot of brands, including AIM7 within the space to try and understand pickleball players better. And as you know, I have some valuable knowledge there. And I think it's just something that's compounded over time. And for me, I think that there's a quote from, I don't know if it's originally from the military person, Jocko Willink, but he's probably somebody who's made it famous. Discipline is freedom. If you're disciplined enough to get the things done that you need to get done, the rest of your day is free. Back in college, if I knew that I had an exam that I needed to study for and I procrastinated it, it lived in the back of my head until I got it done. Now I'm obsessed with getting it done so that I can get it out of my head. And that's a much more stress-free way of doing things for me.
AIM7 is all in on pickleball. Pickleball is the fastest growing sport in America, and we have built some amazing features to help pickleball players to stay pain-free and on the court. Dr. Kyle Richmond, a renowned mobility and rehab specialist, has partnered with us. Now we have an extensive library of injury prevention programs for the shoulder, elbow, knee, back, and more, as well as daily mobility sessions for anyone seeking to move better, less pain. All of this on top of our personalized resistance training, mental fitness, and recovery plans. This is your one-stop shop for pickleball health and performance. Go to AIM7 now and start a one-month free trial. Just click on the link in the show notes. I love that. I have a friend who back in college, he came up with this phrase that discipline breeds discipline. And what you just articulated to me is that was kind of what happened. You got disciplined in one area and then it leaked over into another area. And you're like, huh, I kind of like how that feels. And then it kind of leaks over into another area. But you are very, very regimented. What does your regimen, both physically, like just take me through a day in your life? Because it seems like you kind of block time to get stuff done.
Yeah, well, it depends how detailed you want it to be. I like to put everything down in a spreadsheet so that it doesn't live in my head. I have things as simple as take my vitamins, answer my text messages, answer my emails. I have basically everything that I need to do in a given day laid out. But I think high level, what I do is I wake up at the same time every single day. I've found that regardless of when I go to sleep, if I wake up at the same time every day, I feel pretty good. Mm-hmm. So before, when I was changing up when I was waking up, I felt like I needed more sleep. But now when I'm accustomed to getting up at 5:30 every day, I try to get 8 hours of sleep. But if I get 6 one day, it's not as bad as when I was changing up the wake up time, actually. Mm-hmm. So wake up the same time, I basically start working with intermittent body weight workouts in between. So I'm doing things like I'm answering my emails, I'm answering my text messages, DMs, all that stuff. And every 10 minutes or so, I do a couple body weight workouts, like just a handful of push-ups, pull-ups, abs, some hip strengthening stuff, body weight squats, calf raises. And I found that that works well for me because I don't like having to go block off an hour to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I feel like I get a pretty decent workout in doing that and I actually get it done that way. Pretty much every day I play pickleball from 8 until about 10:30. That's some combination of rec play and drilling. Come home, eat, take a shower, in case you were wondering.
I'm glad you shower.
Yeah. We do that at least once a week. And in the afternoon, when I'm done with all the podcasts and whatnot, I usually get another workout in. And that sort of depends on what AIM 7 tells me to do. So I've got the things that I do every day that I don't really change, which is my little body weight circuit as well as playing. But if I'm feeling really good based on my AIM 7 score in the afternoon, I might get a bike ride in. I might do a little bit more weights. I'm pretty much always doing some form of the suggested AIM 7 recovery afterwards as well, whether that's some stretching. Today, I'm going to go over and do some contrast therapy between the ice bath and the sauna, which I love, and some foam rolling. And I do try and be pretty much done with everything by 5 p.m. So it's a 12-hour-ish workday, but it doesn't feel bad. And I have my entire evening as well. And a lot of it's fun, working out, playing pickleball. I enjoy that stuff. It is technically my job, but I love my job.
That's awesome, man. By the way, here's a little inside scoop. We are putting out short mobility sessions coming soon. So you'll be able to go in and be like, here's a 10-minute total body mobility session with Dr. Kyle. Because people have been saying, hey, they want total body. Like, how do I keep myself flexible and mobile? And so I think those will be little things you can add into your program. But you just articulated something called exercise snacks. Are you familiar with that?
No.
There's a bunch of research now that even just 1 to 2 minutes of high intensity activity could be walking up and down stairs, doing squats and push-ups. It can actually have a positive impact on cardiovascular health. And so it's like micro dosing your workouts throughout the day. And as I'm taking notes on this, I'm like, this guy is so intuitive about what his body needs. But I do this because I sitting and standing, I do a lot of work at my desk. Even standing, I just get up, go on a walk around the block, come back, do wall push-ups, squats, whatever, and just keep my body moving because I just feel so much better.
Now, that's interesting. I hadn't heard of that before. But for me, it just sort of developed in that I'm good at locking in and focusing for, I can do pretty intense focus for 15 minutes. And when I finish a task, I kind of want a little bit of break. And so rather than going and playing like Clash of Clans on my phone or something, or going on Instagram, okay, I'm going to take a break by taking a 3-4 minute little workout circuit and then come back and do the next thing. So it's a more productive break for me to do it that way. And what was the term? Exercise snacking?
exercise snacks. Yeah, it's actually in the literature now. Okay. And there's some good research coming out of where you're at, University of Texas and different places. There was even a paper that came out that was super fascinating. So the paper looked at people that ran for like an hour a day and then walked 8,500 steps or more. People that also ran for an hour but didn't walk more than 8,500 steps. And if you didn't move enough throughout the day, your body didn't have the same metabolic reaction and the same drop in blood lipids. Because one of the points of like doing cardiovascular exercise is you can improve your blood lipid profile. So fascinating. The body is designed to consistently keep moving. And so it's like, if you keep moving, you're going to get more benefit out of the exercise that you're doing later in the day as well. So it's just really interesting and intuitive for you to be doing that. Something that I think everybody should be doing.
That is super interesting. And I think it's, you know, when I have those longer bouts of exercise, right? If I'm specifically going to the gym for an hour and 15 minutes straight, I do feel much more of a crash after that as well. Where if I'm exercise snacking, I feel like that actually improves my energy, whereas a focused hour and a half in the gym sort of sucks energy a little bit more from me. I don't know what the literature says on that, Dr. K, but that's my own theory.
You know what's interesting too is the pickleball, like I've tracked it and we're going to be doing more track, you know, we're getting all these people that are now tracking their pickleball sessions. But if you play consistently, your heart rate zone's like in zone one, zone two. So it's a very low, from a cardiovascular perspective, if you're playing doubles.
Right. Yeah, that's a good qualifying statement right there.
Yeah. If you're playing singles, it's a whole nother game. But doubles is what most people, I'd say recreational players play. And so you're getting plenty of like really good cardiovascular exercise. But when it's over with, you don't feel the same way as if you're on the elliptical just like, you know, for an hour. And even the perturbations, like I think my max heart rate went up to 150, but it was pretty steady around like 125, which is, that's another reason why I think this game is so good. The scientific literature shows that the two best sports for longevity are running and racket sports. And racket sports, it makes sense. You get the cardiovascular exercise, you get intense bursts in your heart rate. So you get these high intensity intervals. You're working on power, hand-eye coordination, balance. And so I'm really interested as a health practitioner, scientist, to look at the long-term benefits of pickleball for the average person. Thanks again for listening to the Blueprint Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give Zane a follow on social media. If you have any questions for him, take a picture of the podcast cover art and add us on social media. We'd love to answer your questions. Until next time, stay curious, stay critical, and keep pushing for excellence.